Jamie Vardy, striker and Leicester City legend. 438 career appearances for Halifax, Fleetwood Town and Leicester City. Won the FA Cup, the Premier League Player of the Season and the Northern Premier League 2011. 7 goals for England. The brilliant mind behind Chat Shit Get Banged. Husband to Rebecca Vardy. And of course, author. But let's see what the book club thought of his book in the first part of our Vardy v Rooney battle in today's Football Book Club.
Well, he did progress onto Red Bull after he almost died in training.
Richie Delatt's got an Expedia coupon. I don't know if I can.
That might be a great job. You could be fancy dress consultant for footballers.
Something so unexpected plays such a major role as a plot device in the book, and that is Jamie's home-brewed Skittles vodka. Hello and welcome to the new series of Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each episode we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Bram Stoker, more Nigel Rio Coker. And thanks to Stuart Dunn for that one. Jack, I feel it's a tradition still this series for you to slag off the things we're being sent in.
I'm being positive this series.
Okay.
I'm going to start as I mean to go on. That one was not bad. I enjoyed it.
Oh, high praise indeed.
Because I haven't thought about Nigel Rio Coker for a while. And Nigel Rio Coker was on my Championship Manager save game 2003-2004. And I took him to... He came to Crystal Palace. And then he
played
got to the
midfield
England squad.
Played him in midfield with Brad Stoker.
Yeah. He was great with crosses. I keep doing that joke.
Come on, Jack.
I know. I keep doing that Dracula crossing joke. I'm sorry.
Wasn't it a Paddy Kenny joke in the first place that we've stolen and moved on?
But then I repurposed it in another episode as well.
Now you're repurposing it again. You're repurposing
every time it comes up, yeah.
You're repurposing the time you repurpose a joke from Paddy Kenny. Bad! Anyway, I'm James Buck, and over this new series, we'll be reading classics such as Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's Jimmy, John Anarisa's Running Man, and finally, we're doing it, Darius Fussell's The Road to Persia. We're on the road to Persia. Remember that from last week? Nah. Doesn't matter if you do or you don't. But today, we're kicking things off with the ultimate grudge match. With their wives pitted against each other in court, we're doing it. It's Vardy v Rooney, and we're kicking it off with Jamie Vardy's 2017 book, From Nowhere. And joining me to read it, as always, are Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
Natasha Daniels.
Have it.
Oh, hello.
That was my Rebecca Vardy impression. Did you like it?
It's an aggressive start to this series, isn't it?
I did like it. I liked it
so
much.
Things have changed.
Maybe we haven't even got time to introduce James. Let's just dwell on that impression for a bit longer. But also joining us is James Bowden, of course. Hello, James.
Hello. Wait, what is that? What does she say? Have it?
There's that funny video of her where she's like, have it!
Is there? That's funny.
Really?
Like Peter Kay style.
I thought you were doing that Peter Kay,
John Smith thing. Yeah.
What, you mean the Michael
Owen
I
spent a lot of time researching her this week, so I'm. I feel like we know each other now.
Nice.
Are you a lawyer? We got a clued up Tash.
Yeah. By the way, we are recording this episode in the end of August, so if the trial's already over, you know, we could have missed all kinds of things like that. So if anything exciting has happened in there, sorry, we're not going to talk about it. Anyway.
Who knows what's happened? Social media may be banned.
What's happened with this trial, we don't know. Yeah, exactly. We might be getting loads of trouble.
It's the end of the world as we know it, this trial.
As REM once sang about the Vardy v Rooney trial. how are we all doing? All good? Having a lovely day?
Yeah, pretty good. I just have to put a disclaimer in that if you hear a little dog whimpering, my dog had his balls cut off and he's feeling a bit sorry for himself. So just a heads up.
Boy.
I'm sure you guys can all empathise with what he's going through.
Yeah, well, my balls
cut off. We've all been castrated, of course.
That was that was
one of the rules of Football Book Club, wasn't it?
Yeah.
James and no balls here.
I think
you're on the head for 2 weeks.
Don't turn this against me. It was Tash's thing. She said it. I think you remember, Tash, when I had my balls cut off, I did just like lie in the corner of your bed feeling sorry for myself as well.
Yeah, you did.
Occasionally
I had to keep
yelling.
Stroking your head. It was
pull the stitches out.
Immediately.
No, to you.
But I think I speak on behalf of all the Football Book Club listeners where I say, get well soon, Tash's dog, and please don't talk during the recording. But Tash, also, I'm guessing, as you mentioned, you've been glued to the Vardy versus Rooney trial over the months.
I have been stuck to it like glue. I know everything about this trial. I could well be her lawyer by now. I've researched all the laws that are involved, and I've even researched the one that may possibly be brought in. Maybe we already know this by this time, or maybe we don't, but there's a possibility that a new law could come in based on social media libel. Like, can you believe it? Ooh. Told you, end of the world as we know it.
Amazing.
Wow. Everything's changing.
Oh, yes.
But it's, and that I mean, it has captured the you know, the minds and the souls of the nation, I guess.
Yeah.
Over the last, it's been dragging on for 2 years. I was thinking this because it was in September 2 years ago, the .. because it was the day, I remember I was reading Gary Monk's book in a hospital. Yeah. And my dad was having a very routine surgery when he was castrated. and I remember that, very clearly.
I was in Nashville and the time difference meant that it was like 4 a.m. and my phone was going crazy and I honestly thought someone had died. So I woke up and had a look at it and it was about 8 of my friends sending me the message going, have you seen this? This is going to rock your world. And they were right. My life has not been the same since.
It hasn't. I'm really upset that you tried to outdo me glamour-wise.
Sorry.
Nashville to a hospital in Braintree. I don't know which one's more glamorous. We'll decide by the end. But that's
how we now remember things by not where you were, but what football book we were reading.
What book we were reading?
Oh, I remember it distinctly. I was reading Cammy's book. That's our life now.
Yeah.
I mean,
where were you when Michael
happened?
Jackson died? I was reading, I think, Jermaine Pennant's Mental. But anyway, that trial is why we're doing all of this. As far as we know, Jamie and Wayne have no quarrels with each other. In fact, Vardy's quite nice about Rooney in his book, but we don't care about that. We're pitting them against each other with Vardy versus Rooney, starting with this in-depth story of Jamie's fairy tale rise from non-league to the Champions League. Let's chat some shit and potentially get banged.
Well, we all know that we won't be getting banged because we don't have any balls.
And Sid definitely won't be. Yeah.
Oh, Sid, sorry, come here, is, mate.
So, over the show, we're going to be going to more depth about the book. We'll have a dramatic reading, a quiz at the end, and the wait is over. Ken Zong is back with another chant. But first, let's see what Amazon is saying. The book has 4.6 stars from, brace yourselves, 641 reviews.
Ooh. Wow! Is that a record?
It's up there. It's definitely
it's
up there.
It's up there, isn't it?
Didn't Owen have quite a lot?
Yeah, Owen, one of them. One of them had like zero reviews. One of them had loads of reviews, I think. Yeah. You can guess which one. You can guess which one. But included in these reviews is this 5-star review from Russell called Vardy Annuals. No idea. And the review reads, Jamie comes across as a complex, straightforward human being who is flawed but loves football and life grateful for what he has now but would have been happy in full stop on League 2. So T-O-O.
Wow.
Wait, hang on. He's a complex, straightforward
human being. I know. Bizarre.
That's like how like old novelists used to write about women.
Yeah.
Isn't it? She was so complex, but she was very straightforward.
A simple mystery.
But most novelists in those days knew how to spell two. So never mind. That's what Russell thinks about it. What did you think of it all, my dear friends?
I really liked it. I am going to put my stake in the ground and say that I am currently Team Vardy.
That's a very important thing to say, but I agree.
I went into it with quite high hopes because obviously like everyone knows his story and it's, you know, the fairy tale, but it was written with Stuart James from The Athletic and I really like his writing. Side note, he should really be our mascot because did you know that he was released from Swindon and then went and got a job in Waterstones?
Who's Stuart James?
Yeah. Ooh, he's like the perfect crossover for Football Book Club. But anyway, from that literally the first sentence of the prologue.
Has he met Peter Reid many times?
Probably.
That would help.
But yeah, from the first sentence of that incredible prologue where he's drinking tinnies and getting a tattoo at Wes Morgan's tattoo parlour, I was
Who
fully
knew Wes Morgan had a tattoo parlour?
I know.
Yeah.
That was yeah, from page one. I was like, wow, that is a great fact to instantly know. Yeah. I had to read it a few times because I was like,
wait,
does he just know the tattoo guy? Like, he was like, oh yeah, you know, I went to Wes. So odd. That bit was so weird.
But you're right. He's, you know, we all know he's a big character, but and his story, it does help that his story is so good. You know, he went from non-league to... You don't get to the Champions League in this, because this book was written in 2017 or 2016, I think it was. It ends just after Euro 2016, right?
Yeah.
So we don't get the Champions League thing. We don't get the FA Cup win, but we get all the great story. It helps that there's such a good story behind it. Unlike, you know, Barry Ferguson's or someone like that. I like football, so I played it.
My tongue was made of bacon. End of story.
But yeah, it was great. James, you enjoyed it as much?
I really liked it, yeah. It reminded me a little bit of Bellamy's. Well, less the story, more the character. Just a bit of a rascal, but you're rooting for him.
He's a troublemaker. Yeah.
Yeah, he sort of gets away with it with his charm.
That's really interesting, because I think this book, I was really surprised by how laid back Vardy was. I know that, but whereas compared to Bellamy, who seemed like incredibly neurotic and incredibly like, oh god, my whole life is, oh, it's like my whole life is crazy and weird.
Yeah.
Like Vardy's, the fact that I was really expecting this book to be like a lot of, you know, Sheffield Wednesday let me go and I knew I could get back there. I always knew I'd be back at the top. But like, I'd say for the majority of the book, he's like, I was really happy making crutches for the NHS.
And
playing football on the side. It was great. It was really, really fun. And then a random guy told me I could play for England. And I was like, yeah, okay. And so I did.
I hadn't even thought about it before.
I suppose I could, couldn't I?
Oh, yeah, probably could do that. Yeah, and obviously, Jamie Vardy's, you know, he's had his fair share of dodgy moments in his career, but he talks about them in a lot of depth in the book. He doesn't try and, like, move away from them. He says, like, look, I really own up to that time in a casino. And he says he really is incredibly apologetic for it. And that's what we want. That's what we want.
I think that's probably the best version of that that we've ever seen in these books. Genuinely.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
You really get the sense
that he's like grown from all of the crap things that he's done.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot of crap things. He's done a lot of crap.
But it's weird because often with those things, when people do that in these books, they always come across as quite defensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he came across as incredibly like, oh God, yeah, I was awful. Or like, I couldn't have done that forever. That would have been terrible. Or, you know, I'm a bit of a rascal, but.
Yeah, it's true. Although I think some of the stories are slightly selective in that like.
I'm sure.
Just like, I didn't do nothing enough to like, okay. But, well, yeah. I was just standing at the bar 1 second and the next minute I got glassed. I don't even know what had been happening. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Next minute. I was in prison buying DVDs of American Pie.
And I'm dating my Facebook status to some of my favourite characters from American Pie.
It's true. It was great for that. I mean, we're all big Vardy fans anyway. Actually, I'll tell you what. One letdown with this book. Mine came, and this isn't Jamie's fault. I can't blame him for this. But my book didn't come with a cover. Just sleeveless.
Mine didn't either. So I didn't get to see his beautiful face on the cover.
There is a cover though, right? It's just me and Tash haven't got it. But I have a mystery stain on the back. And as you can all see now, I'm going to take a picture of that. A mystery stain on my cover. I have no idea what it is, but it's the dirtiest book I've ever received on this podcast.
And I reckon it's Skittle
Vodka.
Have
you had your hands on it, Jack?
WKD or something like that from his...
How dare you, Tash?
Oh, is that a reference to Jack getting excited about books? Gosh.
It was one time. And it wasn't even true. I hate this running joke. I hate it.
As long as you could turn all the pages, then it's fine.
Thankfully, I could. It does smell like.
Oh, nice.
Smell don't smell it.
I've been smelling this, but it's still sticky wherever it is. I don't wear
it. Oh, God.
I know. Not nice. Oh, not God. Nice.
Look,
nice.
Mate, save it for our Instagram live. James Bug smelling
our OnlyFans.
Books.
Lick it.
Welcome back to James Bug licking a book on Instagram live.
That is what we're going to do. But let's get into the book. Obviously, it starts off with Jamie very low down in the Football League.
So Vardy falls into this category of players who were, you hear it quite a lot, they were told they were too small to make it as professional footballers, and then they went on to become like some of the best players in the top leagues. I want to know why clubs aren't learning the lessons with this.
Because
there's a list of players, and it's not all of them, this is just a few of them, who were told they were too young to make it, and look what they all did. Roy Keane.
Too small to make it.
Yeah, sorry.
You're 12 years old. You're afraid we're going to take you.
Years old. You're never going to play.
I don't think you'll ever grow up.
Yeah, he's told they're too small to make it. Roy Keane, Andy Robertson, Antoine Griezmann, Lionel Messi, and even Harry Kane, James.
When was Lionel Messi told he was too small to make it?
Lionel Messi is a really interesting one because wasn't he because he was in Argentina. Didn't Barcelona kind of get him because they got him growth hormones or something like that, or something like that to help him grow?
Yeah.
Because he was expected to grow up to be like, I don't know, 3'8" or something like that. And they gave him these things.
Yeah, he had 12 growth hormones.
And he rocketed. And he got too big. He became a giant. So they had to give him some shrinking hormones to take him. No, honestly, there's something along those lines where.
In the modelling world, they call this the Kate Moss effect. So football needs something equivalent, right? Because Kate Moss is only 5'7", but she's arguably the most successful model of our time.
Yeah.
And they call
it. Apart from Lorenzo Amoruso.
But when these like smaller people come up, but they manage to kill it, they say, "Oh, it's the Kate Moss effect." So there you go.
Okay. Mm. Because typically a height is like 5'11" or so.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's interesting. Mm.
So that's first time, only time Jamie Vardy's getting compared to Kate Moss. I think apart from his scrapes with the law, maybe that's about it. and his party lifestyle. Actually, it's quite a lot of similarities between the two.
I guess he's been on a night out with him at some point. I'm sure.
Yeah, that was his ex-partner before he went out with the Rebecca, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, you're right, James, you are right. He was discarded way too early. He ended up going down to Stocksbridge, I think it was.
Yeah, it was just, obviously he's a big shift for Wednesday fan. It was his dream to play for them, and that was his goal. And I think what Jack was saying before, how he was just kind of happy after that to work and just play football at a low level, because his dream was to play for Sheffield Wednesday, and when that went away, he was like, well, the dream's gone now, so I'll just play football for fun, which was his attitude. And it wasn't, obviously he didn't turn professional till he was, what, 24, was it?
Yeah.
So all the years prior, he was playing in non-league and worked in a factory that made medical equipment for hospitals. And he loved that job because it allowed him to keep playing football through the week. Played for Stocksbridge Steel... What are they called? Stocksbridge
Steel Rangers?
I think.
Steel Raiders? Fridge Raiders?
Something like that.
Stockbridge Fridge Raiders?
And teams called things like the Anvil, and then later on Halifax.
Played against a team called Belper?
Belper, yeah. And Belpers. Fleetwood. But yeah, he was happy. He was happy being in those leagues and just playing.
Just on that note, there's a bit on page 91 where he feels like he has to explain who Andre Arshavin is. He goes, at one point, he claimed that I was better than Andre Arshavin, the Russia international playing for Arsenal at the time. But then he doesn't explain who North Ferriby are on the next sentence. Like, we all know. What kind of people? Football fans all know Arshavin, but no one knows who North Ferriby are. And if you're listening in North Ferriby, I'm very sorry.
Excuse me, North Ferriby is beautiful.
Is it?
That represents my Yorkshire.
So Andre Arshavin's pretty beautiful as well. But yeah,
true.
Yeah, so basically he was happy. You know, he wasn't sort of, had a chip on his shoulder that he didn't make it and was sort of trying to prove everyone wrong. He was just happy playing lower league football for a long time. He didn't really expect to get any higher, and he didn't actually care that much whether he did. It wasn't really his aim. But it's quite surprising that he even got that far, because his diet in the early days was not the best.
Oh my gosh.
As I'm sure they've picked up on.
We have touched upon diet with Matt Letissier. A few other players I think we've had as well. Jason McAteer.
Lorenzo Amoruso got a Bailey's addiction, so you know.
Yeah, he did. That's true. But James, you're right. You're on saying it. Jamie Vardy's diet is disgusting.
I mean, to name a few, I mean, I'm sure there's more than this that I haven't included, but some of his pre-match meals were McDonald's, KFC and Burger King. Just that is literally a pre-match meal for him. Black pudding, Red Bull and double espresso, which he still does now.
Oh, black pudding. Black pudding is the only one he likes is the one at the pub he played for before he went to Stocksbridge.
Not
he
goes too into dry, real not detail too.
About his saying, description of it's wonderful so funny. Black pudding.
Yeah. He says it's still the best before, black pudding I've ever had. Fried to perfection, not too dry, just right.
Yeah. And then later on, he's filling a Lucozade bottle with port, which is an odd.
Oh yeah.
That's weird.
Marcus Hanneman would be fuming with that. He said, put Red Bull in it.
Well, he did progress onto Red Bull after he almost died in training.
And this is his mad pre-match routine.
Yeah, so basically he got onto at one point 3 cans of Monster energy drink before training every time. And then, hang on, there's a... Right,
didn't he have like a cardiac arrest or something?
He had to go to the doctor's.
To stop drinking this. So he was okay.
I think the line is, shall I go to the gym? No, I'm going to have 3 cans of Monster. That's what he says.
That's so weird. It's like, should I eat a healthy meal? No, I'll just have 5 lines of cocaine. Okay.
See? Kate Moss.
Yeah, so he had 1 can as soon as he got up to get himself going, and another 2 before training. And he says, one day in training, my body just packed in. I had absolutely nothing left in me and felt horrendous. We got pulled in by the doctor and advised to cut back, which we did. We went on to Red Bull instead.
So, oh my God.
They almost died in training, just went on to Red Bull.
But then, doesn't he have his Red Bull routine? Like, he has a, you know, his like schedule for eating or for drinking Red Bull is just crazy. Like, pre-match, it's mad. Like, he has one when he gets up, and then he has like,
he has a ham and cheese omelette.
Yeah.
That's true.
Then he has an espresso with another player where he's like, I down it as quick as possible. Mm-hmm. Then he has like a third Red Bull, but he says, this one is a sipping Red Bull. I just sip this one lightly. Like he's some kind of Red Bull sommelier. It's like amazing.
He's just like poured it in like a little in a whiskey glass. Yeah, like a little tumbler.
So funny.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one point where he's talking about, I don't know where he is at this point. I think it's when he's younger. And he's like, oh, the lads were talking about making some pasta. And I was like, nah, I'm not having that. I'm going to get a McDonald's. He's like, who doesn't like pasta? It's not like it's... Like...
Well, we know Darren Huckabee doesn't like pasta.
Yeah,
From the very first book. He bloody hates it. But, you know, I think with Jamie's clear appetite for fine drinks, I think he's missing an opportunity to become a master brewer, like a craft brewer of some sort. Because, James, I don't think I've read a book yet where something so unexpected plays such a major role as a plot device in the book, and that is Jamie's homebrewed Skittles vodka.
Well, when I saw the title of this
entire chapter.
I don't know if you guys had this when I was at uni. Do you remember that drink called Skittles? I thought it was that.
Are you familiar with that? I don't remember that. No.
So it's like it was big in Newcastle. It was kind of, I can't remember exactly what's in it. It was like orange juice, vodka, lots of E numbers, basically. Okay, it's like a really bright green drink called Skittles. So I thought it was about that. No, it's worse. It's way worse than that. And I don't know where he's got this idea from.
He describes it in depth. If you don't mind, I can go into that.
He
says, around that time, I had a 3-liter vodka bottle at home. Just had it hang around. So I thought I might as well try and make something that I would put loads and loads of Skittles in. Once one batch of Skittles have fully dissolved, I'll top it up with more. But with one important condition, I'd only put the red or purple sweets in. Because when I eat them, I don't fancy the orange, green and yellow ones.
Now, the faces on you guys right now is telling me that you've never had this and you think it's disgusting.
What?
Yeah.
I have had this many, many times, and I have made it myself quite a few times.
I mean, it sounds tasty because, as he says...
Actually, Jamie, talking about him becoming a master brewer, I think he needs some tips from me because he waited 6 months once to dish his out. If you put the vodka bottle with the Skittles in it in the dishwasher while it's on, it makes it in one round of the dishwasher.
Wait, what? Is it closed? Is the bottle closed?
Yeah, you close the bottle, put it in, and you can also do it a Mars bar as well, if you want.
What?
How have you made the scummiest thing even scummier?
We used to make it all the time. Maybe it's a Sheffield thing, because I went to uni in Sheffield.
Oh, God.
Maybe it's a Sheffield thing. But yeah, and if you put it in the dishwasher, sometimes you need two rounds if it's on a cool wash. Then
it's a lot of effort.
It's delicious, though, and it's basically pure vodka.
Yeah, and it just, I'm guessing it just tastes like Skittles, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Not sure a bit. Blimey. I mean,
I'll make you all some as an end of season treat.
I'm down.
Dishwasher at university.
I'm sure it's delicious if you're not a professional footballer who has to train hard.
All you need, pack of Skittles, 3-liter bottle of vodka, some dirty dishwasher water. That's all you need. You got the perfect drink. Imagine that on a cocktail list.
That is the funniest bit of this book when he's talking about Skittle vodka and he says he got injured and he's not recovering from the injury.
Yeah, dead leg takes about 3 weeks to heal.
He says to the physio's like, how is this recovering? Usually this will recover really quickly. He's like, oh, I'm not doing anything I don't normally do. I just drink 3 liters of Skittle vodka. And they're like, yeah, that will be the reason, Jamie.
Plus, you know, 17 Red Bulls a day. KFC Zinger Bucket.
I feel like this is why he's graduated to port, though, because port's just basically grown-up Skittles vodka, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's very sweet. It's very sweet. But you don't make it in dishwasher, as far as I'm aware. But I don't know.
Well, yeah, talk to people in Portugal. Maybe they're all being like,
maybe it's the traditional way.
Yeah. Or they're like, we've been wasting years trying to like slowly ferment it. We bung it in the dishwasher, we get it in 5 minutes.
All those vineyard tours you do, you could just like, they'll just get rid of all those beautiful casks and just replace them with a bunch of like Bosch dishwashers sitting next to each other.
I'll
this
do
is
some
the white,
extra...
this is the red.
I'll do some extra content for the subscribers and do the whole recipe if you like.
Oh my god. Ooh,
that sounds good.
I mean, and all of our listeners will soon die, which would be sad, but beyond that, I'll be pretty happy to have it.
Or they'll go on to play for Leicester and win the Premier League.
You never know. It's going to go one
that's
or two
the thing.
Ways.
So, like, if we'd been reading this in a book of a sort of non-league, low-league player, and we'd be like, oh, you know, but if, like, we know what he went on to do.
Yeah,
it seems crazy
amazing.
That this is his diet. Like, he still has the Red Bulls and espressos now. And look how good he is. He's brilliant.
For now. And that's weird. And that is weird because, you know, like Giggs, for example, was always doing yoga and stuff, they always say, because to extend his playing career for a longer bit. Yeah. Whereas he has looked after his body awfully and he's just naturally incredibly fit, as he says, all the way through it.
Because he didn't start playing professionally till he was 24, he thinks he's going to go on for ages because he didn't wear his legs out.
Man, so does that suggest that, like, if he didn't start until he was 42, he could have carried on playing until he was like 63 or something?
Guys, we could still be playing for England and when we're 70.
Get the dishwasher on.
Well, so then he goes to Leicester. He's the first ever non-league player to move for £1 million when he goes from Fleetwood to Leicester.
Yeah,
and his relationship with his managers at Leicester and actually with all of his clubs is really interesting. I found how he interacts with the managers was really fascinating. He talks about Nigel Pearson, who's the manager who bought him, and he says that the way he starts the, I think it is the Skittle Vodka chapter, he talks, like, it starts off with him being like, I wanted to go back to Fleetwood and I told Nigel Pearson I want to go back, and he said, no, you're staying here, you can definitely make it this level, because he starts quite badly when he's at Leicester.
Yeah, well, he starts well and then he goes quiet afterwards. Yeah, it's a good first couple of games.
He seems to kind of like lose confidence in himself and he's like, well, I don't belong at this level. And it's really from Nigel Pearson who kind of encourages him to keep going, which is weird because I always thought Nigel Pearson was like not a great manager. Seems quite rude.
I always thought he was terrifying. I always found Nigel Pearson. He's like, there's a bit in this book which is so Nigel Pearson where he tells a Leicester fan on his own coach to fuck off and die.
Unbelievable.
And he gets in big trouble from it.
And it's
the
way
I thought that's Nigel Pearson. But I think players do like him for that kind of mad stuff. And the
ostrich
thing,
that Jamie Vardy's just like, oh yeah, well, he told a fan to fuck off and die. But obviously, and that happens. But because Pearson also plays for Sheffield Wednesday, and so, you know, like, Jamie Vardy absolutely loves him. He thinks he's brilliant.
Yes.
But also, do you remember when Nigel Pearson had that really weird comment about the ostrich?
Forever.
The amazing comment. Jamie Vardy says that... He was obsessed with this comment. He said he's watched the clip of Nigel Pearson saying that comment about the ostrich so many times that he can now recite what he's saying. He finds it so funny.
So what it was regarding he was asked something in a press conference, wasn't he? And he went, you can see it yourself. You're not an ostrich, are you? Or something like that. Are you an ostrich with your head below the sand?
The exact line is, if you don't know the answer to that question, then I think you're an ostrich. Your head must be in the sand. Is your head in the sand? Are you flexible enough to get your head in the sand? What's great about it is you can tell he's going through the analogy in his head. And he's just getting more and more into it. He's like, I'll bring the head going into the stand. That's what I'll do.
But that's all there really is to it. That's all there really is, the sand. Like, once you've got the sand stuff, he's like,
can you lay a massive egg? How big is your wingspan? You can carry on.
Do you live mainly in sub-Saharan Africa?
Your wings get used as feather dusters?
Yeah.
I thought not.
Can you kill a man with one kick?
He does an ostrich a bit later in the book, doesn't he?
Yeah, because it took the training ground by storm and the chef decided to make ostrich burgers.
That is funny.
And apparently Nigel Pearson takes it really well.
The finest cuisine Jamie Vardy has ever eaten, an ostrich burger.
Didn't you eat an ostrich on our Book Club podcast? Sorry, that's the name of this show. On our on our Patreon specials, I think you talked about the time you made...
I did,
You
rode
an ostrich
and then
ate it.
An ostrich, yeah, I did. It wasn't my finest hour. If I was Jamie Vardy, I'd have an extensive apology in my autobiography about that period of my life.
Much like in Empire Strikes Back, Tash was riding an ostrich and then a snowstorm caught her and she burrowed her way into the ostrich and then ate it. Actually, I don't think Luke eats it. I can't remember. Anyway.
It's just for warmth, isn't it?
It is. But he does have a strange relationship with managers. I know what you mean. He does.
And his best relationship with the manager is Claudio Ranieri.
Which is great to hear.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. I love his relationship with Claudio Ranieri.
What a lovely guy he comes across as.
He really does.
Yeah.
They have, there are just so many beautiful moments with Claudio Ranieri. Like, he has that saying, dilly ding, dilly dong.
Yeah.
Which he is. And then when they're doing really, really well in the league, he gets everyone a bell
commemorate
dilly ding, dilly dong. Oh, it's so sweet. And there's a player has like a birthday party and Claudio Ranieri turns up the day before, gets the date wrong, turns up to the restaurant and is like, where is everyone? And then has to turn up the next day.
And then he still goes.
He still goes.
And he gives a speech.
Oh, yeah.
What a lovely guy. And he...
walk around ringing bells and giving speeches.
The best thing is his nickname for Jamie Vardy is so funny. Do you remember his nickname?
Not really.
He says, hang on, I'll try and find
it. I do remember it. Because I thought about having this as my out of context quote. But then I found a possibly even more baffling line in the book.
I'm excited
which I've gone with.
He says, by now, Claudio had been in charge for a couple of months and he got to know us pretty well as personalities and as players. One day, because I was doing my usual thing of rabbiting on in the dressing room, he told me to turn the radio off. I looked at him, confused, and Claudio said, you're always talking. You like fucking radio. You, radio wanker.
The nicknames in this book are quite stunning,
They're brilliant.
They are.
One of my personal favourites is when he gets called the Caesar of Leicester.
Oh, yeah, he does. Why was that again?
I don't know. And then he turns around and he says, I'm not the Caesar. We're all Caesars. Like, that's how Caesar works.
Yeah. That's not true. Yeah. Yeah.
The whole team is Caesar, man. Yeah.
The floor is made of Caesar.
Just very quickly, Claudio Ranieri, when Jamie Vardy breaks the scoring record in the Premier League, also gets him a shirt. He says he presented with a signed Leicester shirt at the training ground a few days later. He turned around to look at the back. It said 9, wanker. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. That is the perfect combination of heartfelt, sentimental, and hilarious.
It's true.
Brilliant.
And actually, Vardy has a good, and I could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he has a good relationship with pretty much every manager he's with. He kind of realises that how lucky is that, and that they all help him along. Even Hodgson, England, he's obviously a big part, he makes a big gamble. Because Hodgson, I always found this weird at the time. Hodgson brought in Vardy into the England squad in those summer internationals, the season after, I think, Leicester's Great Escape. And he scored like 4 goals in the Premier League that year. I remember at the time people were saying he scored as many goals as Danny Rose that year from left back. And I thought it was really strange that he got in the England squad on that. But Hodgson, for all his flaws as England manager, showed a lot of foresight.
Yeah, but I mean, can I just say how he let him know he was in the England squad was quite astounding. He got a text, like he was in Love Island.
Yeah, I got a text.
He got a text saying,
and it's,
hiya,
it's
mate.
Huge.
England, yeah.
It's the longest text ever.
It's the longest text. He prints it out and it's just this like barrage. And it's like one of those texts that you get that's like when you need to upgrade your phone.
Yeah.
It's like sort of
here are all the options.
Contract. Yeah.
Or it's like when you get a COVID test back. It's like all these things like, but where's the important bit? What's the chance of the story trying to tell me?
You have tested positive for England.
You would like to join the England squad.
It stressed me out, that text, because it was obviously a generic text and he was newly called up and it was saying, wear the tracksuit you wore last time, and I was like, but he doesn't have one. What's he gonna turn up in?
Bring That's your true. luggage. I can imagine him wheeling out his like mum's Matalan suitcase, like, will this do? Painting a Nike tick on the front,
or getting Jason McAteer's mum to make him his tracksuit for him. Go, please. Was that Gary Monk? I can't remember.
No,
was
it Jason both? McAteer.
Gary Monk is saying as well, right? I can't remember. Gary Munt did science, yeah.
Gary Munt did stuff. Yeah,
they did stuff. Not much, but he did do some things. My favourite two things about the England thing is, I was going to mention it was, first of all, he almost doesn't go to his... he almost doesn't take the England call-up because he thinks it's going to be a faff because he planned to go away with our children and Gary Taylor Fletcher and Richie Delatt's family. So he's like, age 29, he's got this dream England call. He's like... maybe not, actually. You know, I was going to go away with Richie Delatt.
Richie Delatt's got an Expedia coupon. I don't know if I can. They'll have to change the name on the ticket.
And, like, for ages, he's like going, yeah, I'm not going to go. And then Nigel Pearson dressed him and goes,
says,
like,
can you tell them that I'm injured?
Yeah.
Like, pull him a sick note.
Nigel Pearson's like, Absolutely not. I'm not an ostrich. I've seen that you're not injured. And you're going to go. He's like, all right, fine. If I have to go play for England, I will. And he does. He doesn't really look back from it. It's bizarre. But also, something else which is about the England team, which is very different to England players we've seen so far. Remember how Steven Gerrard's book, he said that he was too nervous to talk to everyone when he first got to England camp because because he was young and inexperienced. Vardy plops himself up along. He goes, his first day, in many ways, was like the first day at a new school. I remember filling my plate with food, going to the dinner table, and as the new lad, not being quite sure where to sit, in the end, I just thought, sod it, and popped my arse on a table with Milner, Jagielka, Joe Hart, Wayne Rooney, Gary Cahill, and Tom Heaton. Less said about him, the better. But still, he just plops himself straight in with all the big dogs. And that's and also, a little reference to Wayne Rooney there. Yeah. Oh, boy. First reference to Rooney. Uh-oh. Who knew what was going to happen?
Who knew that later on, there'd be in the defendant and... I don't know how trials work.
What's wrong with Tom Heaton?
Oh, you know, he's not a big England dog, is he? Is that controversial?
Right. I thought he'd done something that I wasn't aware of. I was like, what?
Yeah. James, I hate to break it to you.
He's done nothing.
Yeah.
He's cancelled.
He's cancelled. Cancelled. Hashtag boycott Tom Heaton. As you mentioned, this book is packed full of amazing stories. So it's quite hard to do dramatic reading this week. However, I think I've chosen. I think I've chosen well. I hope you agree. Mm-hmm. Can someone cue the dramatic music for me, please?
Honk honk. Cue dramatic music.
Excuse me.
Honk honk.
The honk
I wonder why she's saying honk honk.
It's a clue. It's a clue.
Yeah.
Is it?
What could it possibly be to do with?
That's Tash's new. That's Tash's new catchphrase. It's just goes, "Honk honk, it's me, Tash Daniels."
Honk honk, cue dramatic music.
Anyway, Hong Kong, let's cue the dramatic music. This story is called Jamie and Rebecca Vardy Are Haunted by a Goose.
Honk honk, see?
There we go. There's the honk honk. Here we go. This is under the chapter heading Great Escape, which I guess is about Leicester's miracle survival in the Premier
or
League.
Or the goose.
Double yeah, meaning. Or they're or escaping the goose. Yeah,
it works in two ways. And the chapter starts off, that fucking goose. What a great start to a chapter. That is up there with the best.
I think I'm my favorite. I think actually all of his chapter startings are really good.
Yeah, they are really, really, really
but
good.
But this is the pinnacle, I'd say.
This is a particularly good one. In the summer of 2014, I lost count of the number of times we muttered those words while rubbing our eyes in the middle of another night of interrupted sleep and cursing the bloody bird that was sitting outside our townhouse in Montserrat, making the most... Mount Sorrel? Is that how you pronounce it? Who knows? Who knows? Anyone got a clue? Knows? This is
no
another
idea.
North Ferriby situation. Making the most horrendous noise. I didn't need to open the curtains and peer out the window. The goose was well known to us by now.
You'd be like, which goose is it this time?
Yeah,
is it
yeah.
a man doing a goose impression?
Is it the good goose Richie or the bad goose? Oh, bad goose is back. The goose was well known to us by now, an unwelcome guest that had effectively moved in patrolling the area outside our home like a security guard. All of which would have been fine, but for the racket. Once it was in full voice, which was nearly always in the early hours, there was no stopping it. For the goose was a pain in the arse for me, it was public enemy number one for Becky. She was heavily pregnant at the time and struggling to sleep well anyway, so the squawking and honking was the last thing she needed.
Which is weird, because often they say that squawking and honking is quite good for pregnant women.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, that is true. It's very, very, very therapeutic.
I love how he says, it would be absolutely fine. I have no problem with the idea of a goose walking up and down my street if it wasn't for the fact that it was honking a lot. You're like, yeah, obviously.
That kind of... Yeah, fuck it. Oh, I can't bear the sight of that goose walking up and down, thinking it owns the place. These houses are expensive. From canvassing locals to ringing the RSPCA, we tried everything but got absolutely nowhere. And we only became more frustrated as the bird kept coming back. Desperate and deprived of sleep, we felt we had little option but to take the goose on. I didn't fancy hand-to-hand combat. Geese don't have hands, first
geese
of all.
Geese don't have hands. That is a crucial part of that.
Yeah, that is a big part.
I mean, okay, but James, you're not telling me that you would pay big money to watch Jamie Vardy fight a goose, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. In the same way, you know, YouTubers pay money to watch KSI fight, or Logan Paul fight, I don't know.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, I'd go for Vardy v. Goose. It'd be great.
Even later on, after
as an animal lover and vegan, I would still watch that fight.
And I also reckon that Jamie Vardy's going to lose that fight.
Well, I don't know. Jay, I think you'd kill it. I think you'd kill it.
I think you have to. The goose gets to have five cans of Monster beforehand as well.
Okay, much like him, just to get in the
Yeah, Vardy takes a long time to heal, so if there's any significant damage, then that's on his way out.
That is true. It might be a bit. Has anyone ever seen the video of Woody Allen fighting a kangaroo? Boxing kangaroo.
Was it?
It was Woody Allen, wasn't it?
It's horrible.
A real thing.
It's horrible.
It is horrible.
So wait,
yeah.
we're cancelling Tom Heaton, but Woody Allen's fine.
Okay. It's a real... anyway, back to Jamie Vardy fighting a goose. I didn't fancy hand-to-hand combat, so I raided my fishing kit and went for the catapult. Do people keep catapults in fishing kits? I don't... Is that Dennis the Menace's
fishing...
really
weird Like what? Like Dennis the Menace shooting... Yeah. You shoot... I've never fished before, so...
I don't know either. Shooting pike with a thing, maybe. It reached the stage where the goose became a topic of conversation wherever we went. One night, we were at a friend's house showing them the video we had of the goose on our phones. Then the bloke looked at me and said, "Why don't you just shoot it?"
If I was Jamie Vardy, I think I would be in the same position where everyone would be like, "Jack's going to come over for dinner. He's going to bring up the goose. You have to like just
appease him.
Just smile and nod. He's going to talk about is that fucking goose.
Have you ever played Untitled Goose Game?
I have, and I love it.
Yeah,
and
I think there should be a singularity in this. Yeah. Like we've done a crossover here.
There should be a genuine crossover between FIFA and Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah, yeah. Untitled Jamie Vardy game.
Street Fighter FIFA. Where if
you're, it's a beautiful summer's day and you're a horrible Jamie Vardy.
But if you play as Leicester and you score a goal, you should get to chase Jamie Vardy.
Yeah.
Or you're playing against Leicester, you should get to chase Jamie Vardy with a goose.
Anyway, he does decide to... he tosses and turns for a bit. He says, "I'm an animal lover, so I knew that I had to go to war my conscience before getting the goose in my sights." But he does take the gun in the end. He goes up on his roof. I
love how he says, "I'm an animal lover," yet he wanted to shoot a goose because it was being a bit loud. That's not how it works,
yeah,
Jamie.
Keep in mind, that is the limit of Jamie Vardy. He can love you, but he will also, if you start making too much noise, he'll take a gun to you.
He'll shoot you between the eyes. I looked through the scope on top of the rifle, wrapped my finger tightly around the trigger, and did what I needed to do. Bang! The goose was flapping like mad, but to my amazement, it stayed there, almost defiantly. I loaded the gun up again and fired a second shot, registering what I thought was another hit, and this time it staggered away like a cat that wanders off to die.
He shot another animal before.
Like the other cat that I shot. The gun was returned. We couldn't wait to get it out of the house. I don't know why. And finally, we had some peace and quiet for about a day. The goose came back. What? Noisier than ever, and I couldn't believe it. Neither could Becky. He shot this goose twice, and it has come back.
It's a Rasputin goose.
It is. This is why it's haunting him. It generally is haunting him. "I thought you shot it," she said. "I did. I hit it twice," I replied, feeling like I now had the goose and my fiance against me. I hate it when that happens. While also starting to wonder whether either pellet had struck the goose. "Well, obviously you didn't hit it in the right spot," Becky said. "We're back to square one." Bizarre. And then it turns out a little while later, there's a little epilogue to this story. A little while later, Becky went to a reflexology session where she told the story of the now notorious goose. The therapist explained that geese are protected birds and highly sensitive and suggested that they may have picked up on the fact that Becky was pregnant. It might have been trying to look out for her and the baby. So there we go.
No, Jamie, and then the weirdest bit of that is that when she gives birth, the goose goes away and is never seen again.
Oh, yeah. It's a ghost. It's a ghost.
Like it limps away.
My work here is done. Just like
Nanny McPhee. It's bizarre.
Yeah. All he was doing was looking off Jamie Vardy and Greg Vardy. He shoots it twice.
I'm
trying to help you. Stop it.
It's a ghost.
There we go. There we have it. I get it.
Cool, okay, good.
And there'll be more goose action. No, there'll be more Jamie Vardy after the break, including yet more bad footballer fancy dress. And we're on Wag Watch.
Yes.
Hi. We're Football Book Club Podcast, and we need your support. Now, let's drop the appeal music. Hi, everyone. James here, and I just want to tell you about the brand new Football Book Club Club, which you can join to receive bonus weekly episodes, access to exclusive member events, and your very own Football Book Club bookmark, all for the same price as a used copy of Darren Huckabee's 2007 book, Hucks. So if you enjoy the podcast and need to hear more afterwards, head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. Enjoy the episode.
Do you need more sketch comedy in your life?
This is a flesh-eating bacteria I stole from work.
Well, you stole that from the lab, did you, mate?
Yeah.
Then you need Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. With me, Tom Crowley.
When did you lose your virginity?
2nd of October 1993 on a pool table.
Each episode features brand new sketches, characters, and songs.
No time to die and no love to lose. That's the life I choose.
as well as returning regular features.
These are the diaries of Link Tangent, space cartographer.
I'm Sir Chantley Buffingham.
Hello, my name is Wingnut.
All written, performed, and produced by me, Tom Crowley.
He may look frightening, but he's innocent. He knows not what he does.
Over 8 hours of original sketch comedy. Available now on all good podcast apps and at CrowleyTime.com.
Have you ever had constipation? No. It can be a bit like that.
That's Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. Subscribe today.
Crowley Time!
Welcome back to Football Book Club, where we are reading Jamie Vardy's From Nowhere. Does anyone have an out-of-context Vardy?
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Yes. I do.
You got the whole summer, James, to think. Got the whole summer to think for today. No, James is out. James is out. Tash, let's have yours.
Whatever inspired us that day, whether it was the monks, the weather, or Wayne Rooney, it was occasion I'll never forget.
Oh, very good. And out of context, ooh, with Rooney in it.
Yeah.
Ooh, perfect. Ooh. Really building the scene with that. Jack, do you have one?
Yep. His impression of a horse was unbelievable.
Yes. I was going to have that in the quiz later. And, you know, I still might. My out of context was Sam Bailey, the X Factor winner, invited us over to her house. And I had a choice between dressing up as the Grim Reaper or a clown. So,
there we go. Right. It's so weird.
And sadly, he doesn't go into much more depth on it than that. He really doesn't. Yeah.
I think this book might be the perfect Football Book Club book, genuinely.
I think you're
because
right.
Because it's so... The story is incredible, obviously.
Yep.
The whole story is amazing. The number of bizarre lines like that is just...
Yep.
It's off the charts.
Unparalleled.
And
there's
throwaway because there's so the many of them.
Throwaway thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, he comes across as a really nice guy. It's incredible.
The only thing it's missing...
It's staggering.
Is Peter Reed. No Peter Reed in the whole book,
I'm pretty sure.
Big shame. However, no Peter Reed watch, but we have got something new. Wag Watch. Wag Watch.
Yes. I've been waiting for this.
Tash, I set you a task. Because you're so captivated by the Vardy Rooney trial, I thought it'd be really good to get an account of how Rebecca comes across in this book. So what did you learn out of Rebecca Vardy from this book?
Rebecca Vardy is an angel on this earth, and I have changed my mind on where I stand on the Rooney Vardy trial, because before this, I was firmly Team Colleen, and next episode, I may change my mind.
I hope no one in the jury is listening.
However, Rebecca Vardy, I think without her, we would not be reading this book right now. I don't think he would have had anywhere near the career he's got. Without her.
You're probably right.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, I think he says it in kind of a jokey way, but he genuinely was on a bit of a self-destruction mission, I think, at the time. And it's weird because he was already on the way up when that happened.
Yeah.
But he was out a lot. He was damaging his own career, I think, and she really pulls him in. And reins him in. And I just have to talk about how they met, because when I read it, she was like, it said... Oh, she was the events manager at Viper Room. And I was like, Viper Room? Is that like the club that Johnny Depp owns in LA where River Phoenix died? No, it's the place in Sheffield where I was sick in Freshers Week. I knew it from somewhere.
Nice. I thought you were going to say one of your Tash stories where Rebecca Vardy was somehow tied up in the death of River Phoenix. And I was like, oh God, what's going to happen here?
God,
we don't need that court case too.
Yeah. Nice. She's an expert on libel now, so no, I'm not going anywhere near it.
When were you in Freshers Week?
So I'm very sad about this because his party where they met was 2014 and I left uni in 2013. Could have been there. But anyway.
What was the party again?
It was his 27th birthday party.
At Leicester, yeah.
And his special request that they allowed him to do was to have 250 balloons pinned to the wall full of laughing gas.
Oh, yeah. That was surely illegal at that point, right?
How's he getting away with that? I don't know.
Yeah.
He mentions it so casually, like it's such a fine thing to do. You're like,
yeah.
No,
well, he's like chucks in a little disclaimer. He's like, oh, from my mates, their request. Yeah. Not what. Yeah, okay.
Had a very similar text from my sister about Leeds Festival this weekend. My friends are interested.
Okay.
Anyway.
And did you give them Rebecca Vardy's number?
Yeah, I did.
Just sort it out.
but yeah, he really tries to pull her and she's having none of it. And she eventually says that she'll go on a date with him if he will leave her alone afterwards.
All great romance starts that way.
The whole relationship is very much wearing her down. He proposes to her about 15 times, and then one time he's just I don't know why she goes for it. He's just like smashed at Richard DeLay's birthday party or something. Yeah. And he goes, "What are you marrying?" She goes, "Do you meet this time?" He's like 17 Skittles vodkas. He's like, "Probably." And she's like, "Yeah, great. Oh, Jamie, you made me the happiest woman in the world. Am I?" And
then, yeah.
Doesn't he buy her a diamond ring in like an airport?
In an airport, at Tiffany's in an airport in Thailand.
Yeah.
Who knows if it's real or not? Who knows?
Yeah. He gets her that and a massive Toblerone.
Yeah, marry me, darling. I really do think that she is really good for him. Yeah. And I also have to just give a special shout out because this is Wag Watch after all.
Yeah,
her dedication to the wag life and the wag aesthetic is unrivaled. I've never seen anything like it. So I'll give you two examples. First one, please. They're in Ibiza and she breaks her toes wrestling.
Yeah, yeah,
and
that's one of my highlights.
She goes on a night out to Pasha in a pair of platform heels.
I mean, what a woman.
And then next up, she's giving birth and she's told she needs a C-section. So she's got a little while to wait. So what does she decide to do? Wash her hair and have a blow dry.
Yeah. Yes.
So funny. Yeah. And I like how Jamie's like, for reasons only she knows.
Only she knows. Only she wants to wash her hair. And I just think that dedication to looking like a wag is just, I love it.
Primo.
Well, there we go.
10 out of 10.
We didn't know we did ratings on Wag Watch, but cool. That's good to bring.
James, are you going to do a jingle for Wag Watch? I think it needs one.
It'll be very much the same jingle, but with my knees redubbing the thing.
Wag Watch. Wag Watch.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they wag for you? Wag Watch. Wag Watch. Can we do that?
Very much so. I do think though, just a quick shout out to the real love story of the book though, which is Jamie and the in-betweeners.
Yes.
Jamie has three mates called Collins, Rans and Ridgie, of course they are, who follow him everywhere, go to every single game and they love each other. I think Rebecca comes up with the name of the in-betweeners.
Yes,
for them, which,
she does. Yes.
That's very sweet.
Very sweet.
Very sweet. And they go to a match dressed as Crayola pencils as well?
Yep. They are, it's classic lad behaviour all the way
through. So banterous. Such banter.
We put away a few pints that night, let me tell you. Yeah. We touched upon fancy dress just now, when we talked about the in-betweeners, and I want to bring up, it's a theme in the books we've had so far, isn't it? Fancy dress, footballers, fancy dress is a thing. However, I think this book has the worst example of it yet, or the most infuriating reference to it. Jack's nodding his head. I think he agrees with it.
So
first of all the Leicester stuff in the book is amazing, except this. This is in the year when they win the league. Ranieri lets them have a Christmas party in Copenhagen. And this is actually in the chapter called The Whole Team is Caesar, as mentioned before. And Jamie says, we all agreed that we would meet in the hotel reception at 11 a.m. But Batman, Assassin's Creed, Banana Man, and the White Power Ranger, Robert Huth, Richard Dillat, Shinji Okazaki, and Jamie Vardy, to give us our real names, we're being kept waiting and getting a bit impatient. That sounds fun. Until he reveals it was our Christmas party in Copenhagen. The theme was computer game characters, and we'd all promised to keep our outfits secret. I think Tash knows where it's going. Jack, is Banana Man a video game character?
No.
Is the White Power Ranger a video game character? There might be a Power Ranger.
Primarily, hang on. Batman, I would argue, is not a video game character.
I agree. It's lazy to go as him. Yeah,
I would say they could have gone as themselves. They're all in
exactly,
FIFA.
They're all in FIFA.
They might as well
have been the smart one. That would have been the smart one. I bet who's like their smart player in that team? I bet that's what like Esteban Cambiasso did. And actually, I'm myself. Actually, he'd left by that point. But yeah, let's go through some of the other ones in there. Wes was a giant Pac-Man. Great. Wes Morgan gets
that's
it.
Fine. That's
brilliant.
Perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
So who was Assassin's Creed? I think that's Richard Dillat. So Richard Dillat got it as well.
But he's not called Assassin's Creed, is he? They're not like, hey, Assassin's Creed, how's it going?
I don't know what he's called. The assassin.
Is that the man in the hood?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
I will say it's a risky outfit to put on, isn't it? Like a white hood.
Yeah, that is true. Real, well, he real says he was risky. The guy from Assassin's Creed, but yeah. He had some pretty dodgy views around that time. Danny Simpson, Spider-Man, again a borderline one I'm not having.
But then so there was a good Spider-Man game around that time.
That's
so.
True.
You can't do that. That's like you could go as Harry Potter because there's a Harry Potter. No, yep. I'm not having.
That's true.
I totally agree. Okay, I agree
with that. Also, just going as Spider-Man, Superman, Batman is so lazy.
I agree.
These footballers have money. Why are they never creative? Is there always a Spider-Man,
a
Batman,
that might be
Superman.
A great job. You could be fancy dress consultant for footballers. Yeah. They really need one.
I agree, and I tell you, definitely needs one. This next one turns my stomach. Casper Schmeichel for a computer game themed party went as Mr. Incredible. Just so wrong.
I was so that was genuinely the one where I was like, well, that's just the laziest thing.
He's just
in the
Googled
world.
Like blonde people, hasn't he?
He's just got, well, how can I be an incredible
That's the first
man.
Person who comes up when you Google blonde people, Mr. Incredible.
And his dad.
Most famously blonde.
Yeah. Well, I can either go with Peter Schmeichel or
Jeff Schlupp was the Black Power Ranger. Again, bad. Nathan Dyer.
But not good.
No, not good.
There's no Power
Nathan
Ranger
Dyer,
game.
Iron Man, wrong. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Matty James, Andy King, Ben Hamer, and Danny Drinkwater. All wrong. And that is it, I think, in there. Just terrible, disgraceful.
The only person who comes out of that with any credit, I would say, really, is Wes Morgan.
Yep, I agree. Pac-Man. I'd love to see a giant Pac-Man.
I'd love to see Wes Morgan.
And Richard Dillat either comes out with a bit of credit or his reputation massively decreases. we haven't really figured that one out. But, you know, that aside, the lesser stuff is all amazing. You're ticking off all the... As the book goes on, you're ticking off all the big things. You've got the 11-game scoring run when Jamie Vardy smashes Ruben Nistelrooy, wasn't it? His record, I think it was. And then you've also, obviously, we mentioned The Great Escape before. They talk about that. One interesting thing I found was that he didn't really like Esteban Cambiasso, who I always thought was kind of... Because he was there the year before, and then they replaced him with Gökhan Inler, I think, the next year. Mm-hmm. And I thought Cambiasso was the guy who kind of turned the corner for Leicester, because I remember in that run-in towards the end, he was brilliant, and he had all that experience. I always thought he must be great in the dressing room, but... Vardy's just like, nope. He's fucking pain in the ass. He just keeps like, he goes like, oh, I think we should do this tactic. He's like, tactics? We don't do tactics around here.
Skill of vodka.
Yeah, that's all we do.
No, the best bit of Cambiasso's Leicester career is when they're all just in the dressing room at one point and they're talking, and then Cambiasso randomly butts into a conversation and says, I know you guys think I'm just here for the money, but I'm not. And then that's the end of it.
Like, what?
Yeah, it's like,
where's that come from?
We didn't know how much money you were on, Esteban. Why would you bring that up? It's so funny. Oh,
it's
that
true.
Bit really makes me laugh.
Yeah, it is true. It did make me change the way I thought about things. But he loves Danny Drinkwater. He loves Okazaki. Yep. A lot of these. And you have all these moments, gun rolling. You've got, the 11-game scoring run. You've got them winning the league, which is, you know, an annoying moment for me as a Spurs fan.
And N'Golo Kante as well, which I just wanted to mention. He has come up with a brilliant idea of getting out of paying fines. So he comes across as I think people know about his reputation anyway. He's like a sweet guy. He's, you know, drives a Mini. He's very like low-key, doesn't care about the money. And then they have a policy: if you're late, you got to pay a £100 fine or £200. And Conte's lit first time, and they're like, oh yeah, you got to pay the fine. He's like, how can I pay this fine when there are people starving in Africa? I'd rather give it to them. And that's brilliant. I'm gonna do that next time. I get a parking fine.
Next time DVLA come on, I go I just send him that page of the book. I'm just gonna say
you could do it with your taxes as well, really.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
I could give you this, but maybe Africa.
I loved it. You get all these. It does really just take you on a ride at the end, and then end sadly on Euro 2016, which isn't as good. But score against Wales. He doesn't have a bad tournament.
I mean,
I
imagine this book came out in 2017. We're gonna get a second one.
Oh
so.
Yeah,
surely.
For sure.
God, I love a second one.
Yeah,
yeah. He's playing the Champions League.
At this point of this book, he's only been a professional for what, 5 years? Yeah. 4 or 5 years? Yeah. Yeah. And he's won the Premier League. It's just, it's ridiculous.
And he's scored multiple times for England.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Including a back heel against Manuel Neuer. Remember that? Yeah, that was incredible. The book changed me, but did it change you?
Yeah.
Cool. Great. I think you're right. And I think it's going to be very hard for Wayne Rooney to beat it, right?
Yeah, I do as well. I feel a lot of warmth towards Jamie Vardy and Becky. who I'm going to call her Becky now because he does.
Because he calls her Becky. Yeah, that's really
he does.
Sweet.
He does. He does. He really does. And marks out of 10. Let's start with, Mr. Notorious Bastard, James Balgian. And that's not because of the marking.
I thought it was very good. Very well written. Great story. Likeable guy. 8.
I think that's a good mark. I'm going to go 8 as well, I think. Tash?
I'm going to go 9. I really enjoyed it. I don't think I've ever given anyone a 9 before, but I really enjoyed it. I actually would read it for fun.
Wow.
It was an enjoyable
read. No
one's
ever said that on the show before. It was. Are you saying you wouldn't read Lorenzo Amoruso's LA Confidential
Never,
for fun anymore?
Ever again.
Fair enough. And Jack, let's see what you give it then.
I gave it a 9 as well. Really good. I was stunned by how good it was.
Yeah,
genuinely.
Me too.
I think it might be the perfect football book club book. I think it's just brilliant.
It could be the highest score I've ever given it. 8.5 out of 10 is what it gets overall. Oof. Is that highest? Could be.
Might be.
I mean, we've got some shockers coming up this season.
Don't worry. It's going to change soon, but he's very
all
much...
All the people listening being like, oh, they're just going to do good books this season.
Don't worry.
No.
Oh, boy, they're not.
And it goes very much in first place in the leaderboard for now. This week's quiz. Your names for this week's quiz. I'm going to give you all nicknames that are used in the book by Jamie Vardy. So, Jack, you're Sharky, which was the nickname of...
Mark Albrighton,
because he's got a nose like a shark. No, he's got a nose like a shark's fin. That's right.
Yeah. Nose Tash, like a shark. Sharks don't have noses.
Yeah, they probably do smell something. How do they smell? Awful. Tash, you're Drinky, which is the nickname of?
Danny Drinkwater.
Classic footballer's nickname, that one. Mm-hmm. And James, you are Nugie Pups, which is the nickname of David Nugent, apparently.
Come on,
Nugie Pups. Good luck. I'm rooting for you. Question number one. Which Sheffield Wednesday hero did Jamie Vardy pretend to be when playing outside his house as a child?
Oh, Nugie
Sharky.
Pups.
Nugie Pups was in first.
Hursty.
Yes,
David
who is?
Hurst.
David Hurst is correct.
Yeah, boy.
1-0 to the Nugie Pups. Imagine that as a chance. Question number two. What was Stockbridge goalkeeper Ben Scott's party trick? We might have mentioned it earlier.
Sharky.
Yes.
He could do a really good impression of animals, and he did impressions of dogs when strikers were about to go through on goal.
I don't remember the dog bit, but yeah, he, that is correct. And he famously did impressions of horses. I think
if he ever came up against Vardy later in his career, he should have done a goose.
He just shit himself.
What was Jamie Vardy's American Pie inspired Facebook status?
Oh God.
Shit,
from a quote by
Chris Finch,
what's his name in it? Something like Finch, isn't it? Or something in it?
Yeah.
Nugie Pups.
I'm going to have to rush you.
It's something like is that wrong? It's something like getting laid.
Like not giving you any clues.
Getting laid, making money. It's something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to Tash. That's pretty much it. I'm going to give it to, what's his name? Drinky. Maybe it's Drinky. It's love and life, getting paid, getting laid. It is. Final question. This is the decider. What does Jose Mourinho say when Jamie Vardy first plays against his Chelsea team?
Sharky.
Yes.
Don't you ever stop fucking running.
Very good. Very, very good. And our winner is Sharky. Congratulations, Sharky.
Out of the bag.
Very good, Sharky. Sharky, I know what you want as your prize. I think I know what it is. Do you know what it is?
I do, you know exactly what I want. The only thing I want is a song by Ken Zong. Yeah,
yes.
Song by Ken
Zong. I was going to say a Steve Bruce cardboard cutout. I'll take a Ken Zong.
Give me one of them.
So we all know Ken. Ken writes football chants about footballers long since retired. What have we had? We've had I Love It When You Call Me Leroy Lita to Send Your Rita. We've had Stern John to the Thong Song. He always delivers. He always delivers, Ken. And this week, he usually delivers. let's not build up too much. And this week's the tune of the Gina G classic. There's only one, so I think we all know what it is. Can I have some of the, you know, the... Keep going. Steve Grizovic. He's 6'4". Steve Grizovic. Stopping goals is what he's for. Steve Grizovic. He's 6'4". Steve Grizovic. Just give up, you'll never score. Yes, Ken.
That was so good. You've woken the baby Sid up.
Oh, just in time, Sid. It's the end of the episode. He loved it. He loves former Coventry goalkeeper Steve Grizovic. That is all for this week's book. But in a fortnight, as remember, we're fortnightly now, it's time for Vardy versus Rooney part two as we read Wayne's 2013 book, My Decade in the Premier League. Make sure you tune in for that. It's going to have to be good. It's going to have to be good to beat Jamie. In the meantime, make sure you get in touch with us on Twitter at Footy Book Club, Instagram at Football Book Club, or on Facebook. Send us your thoughts, your author, footballer puns, chant ideas, anything. If you can't wait 2 weeks for an episode, make sure you join the Football Book Club club where you receive 20 minutes more Vardy actions. We continue to talk about the book, plus loads more bonus episodes and a Football Book Club bookmark. Head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. For now though, guys, any last words?
Honk honk.
As in a goose or Tash's catchphrase?
No, Tash's catchphrase, obviously.
Tash's catchphrase. Of course.
Honk honk, it's honk. Tash.
Honk honk, goodbye. Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, Natasha Daniels, and James Balgen. It was created by James Bug. Thanks to Jamie Vardy for writing the book. But where are they all now? Well, since writing the book, Jamie has gone on to win the FA Cup, the Community Shield, and Master Brewer of the Year for his Skittles Vodka. Nigel Pearson now manages Bristol City in the Championship, but has sadly run out of ostrich metaphors. The goose has been shot a further 15 times by Jamie to no avail, and Richie DeLatz and Gary Taylor Fletcher never did reschedule their holiday. Very sad. The theme music, Hills Behind, is the work of Silent Partner and is using the Creative Commons 4.0 license. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in a fortnight with Vardy v Rooney Part 2. See you then. Honk honk.